to we've been to Worms, we've been to Spain. Now we're the next kino we're doing is kino Memalef is bringing us to France. After kino Memalef, Hashem, Rabbi Kalish will discuss go back to Eastern Europe to the Holocaust, and then we will finish with Alei Tzion. Kino Memalef, as I mentioned, brings us to Spain, to Paris. Actually, the year is 1242. The king of France, his name is Louis the Ninth. Louis the Ninth is a fanatic, and he even was sainted. He got the name Saint Louis, but he wasn't such a saint as far as the Jewish people were concerned, and he was one of the people that encouraged forced conversion. The Jewish people had to convert at the threat of death, and the king himself would often attend their baptism because it brought him great pleasure. There was over 3,000 people in a town of Anjou that would rather be burnt at the stake than convert. But there were those that capitulated and they gave in to the pressure. There was one, he's called an apostate, Nicholas Donin of La Rochelle. And he was a convert. And he had a particularly vicious hatred for his former co-religionists, for the Yidden. And he was assisting the St. Louis in his quest to try to convert everybody. And he told the Pope, he told the king that, look, it's not going to go as long as the Jewish people have their books, because their Talmudic books, they all encourage a lot of distance between Jews and Gentiles, and there's a lot of bias there against the non-Jewish people, and the books are creating this atmosphere of distance and of resistance. So on March 3rd, in the year 1240, they seized over 1,000 Svarim. And they decided there was going to be a debate. And it was in this climate that the debate was happening, and it was clearly not going to be a fair debate. Rabbi Yechiel Miparis, who's one of the Rishonim, the Balei HaTosfos, he was the head of the Jewish debating team together with other Talmid Chachamim of the time. It was altogether four of them. He was the Rebbe of the Maram Mirutenberg. The Maram Mirutenberg wrote this kina. And although obviously the Chachamim gave a great defense to the Torah, well, they weren't really interested. And eventually, the authorities gathered together 24 carts of Svarim, Sefrei Torah, Ksavim, and they gathered them in the streets of Paris, and they forced the Yidden to come watch as they went up in flames. Shibolei Aleket brings down that the Chachamim are very troubled, and they wanted to know what is this, why did this happen, or is this some sort of edict from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And they made a Sheilas Chaloim, and the week that it happened, it was on a Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas. And the answer they got in the dream was Do Gzeiras Oiraisa. That is the first three words, Zois Chukas HaTorah, Da Gzeiras Oiraisa, and Gzeiras Oiraisa could be understood as a law, or it's a decree on the Torah. And they understood that this was a divine decree that this should happen. As you mentioned, the Marami Rutenberg wrote this Kino. The Marami Rutenberg was a very also famous tragic figure. I have a small book on the Marami Rutenberg about his life, if anyone would like to see it. The Marami Rutenberg wrote over 1,000 tshuvas, and a lot of his psukim are ones that we use. It was also from the late Balei HaTosfos. And the Marami Rutenberg wrote this tshuva. Eventually, the Marami Rutenberg was caught as he was trying to escape, and he languished in prison where he died. They wanted a very, very huge, enormous ransom for him to leave, and he refused to allow the Yidden to ransom. He felt it was too much money, even though his Talmud, the Rosh, wanted to gather together the money, but it was too late. He died in prison, and he sat there, his body sat in prison for 14 years unburied after he died. Till finally someone, Yid by the name of Alexander of Wimfin, he gave, now already the ransom was a different amount, he gave the money, and he's buried today next to the Marami Rutenberg. Anyway, why did this happen? So it's brought down that not long before this incident, the Rambam had come out with his Svarim. Sefer Amado and Sefer Mor Nevuchim were two controversial Svarim. The rest of the Rambam is not relatively controversial, but these two were controversial. The Rambam gave forth ideas that were foreign to many of the people, and they didn't know how to deal with it. And the confusion got to the point that the Rambam's Svarim were burnt. And Rav Hillel of Verona writes that in the very spot that the Rambam's Svarim were burnt, the ashes of the Rambam were still there, and they were burning the Sifrei Torah. As Rabbi Kalish mentioned, sometimes people feel that even if he's a Talmud Chacham, but if he's not my Talmud Chacham, so then he's fair game, and I could say what I want about him. And the Rambam was from a different line. And they felt like the Rambam was, he was so irrelevant that his Svarim could be burnt. None of us would think that way today. But he writes, because of a lack of an appreciation for someone else's Rebbe. So in, that is the reason for this punishment. But I'd like to just focus for a moment on the words of the Kina and perhaps give forth something additional. The Kina starts, Kina Mem Aleph Shali. I'm asking, Srufa Beish, that has gone up in flames, L'Sholem Aveilayich, for the welfare of your mourners, Hamisavim Shchoin, those that they yearn, the Misave, they desire Shchoin Bechatzer Zvulayich, that they want to lodge in the courtyard of your Zvul, of your place of dwelling. Hashoyafim Be'afar Oretz, those that they're Shoyef, again, they're longing for the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, they would roll in the dust and the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Hakoyavim amishtoimimim, and they're in pain and they're wondering, Aleimoikad glilayich, why is the Torah being burnt? Now, Rabbi Yisai, Marami Rutenberg is putting together two different things. He's putting together love of Eretz Yisrael, some people that are loving Eretz Yisrael, and the burning of the Sifrei Torah. He says, Shalis, oh, we start again. Shalis Rufa Beish. Hamisavim Shchoin, those that want Shchoin, the Chatzar Zvulayach, they want to live in Eretz Yisrael, want to live in your Chatzar. Hashoyifim ba'afar oretz, those that want to just roll in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Hakoyivim alei moiked glilayach, that they're in pain over the burning of the Sifrei Torah. Why is he putting these two things together? Chibas Eretz Yisrael, love for Eretz Yisrael, those that just even want to roll just in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, to people that are in pain over the Torah being burnt. Rabbi, I think that there's a common thread. When we talk about our relationship with Torah, so many people talk about their love for Torah. Avas Torah. Where does it come from, love for Torah? So many people, it comes from the geschmack that they get in Torah. They enjoy it. And when you enjoy something, so then you like it. I don't think that that's where Avas Torah should be coming from. I think Avas Torah comes from Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai said Naseh V'Nishma. That was before we knew it was Gishmak. That was before we enjoyed it. Naseh V'Nishma means there's something that binds me to this Torah, which has nothing to do with how enjoyable it is. It's just because I feel connected to Torah. This is my connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Naseh V'Nishma means I don't know what it says. I don't know if I'm going to like this. But I'm taking it anyway. That's Avas Torah. It's inexplicable. It's beyond the ability to describe why. It just is. Because it's a part of me. Try to explain why you love your mother. Don't. Because the person doesn't have words for that. It's because she's a part of me. Eretz Yisrael is explained, is called Eretz Chemda Toivo Rechava. Eretz Chemda Toivo. What does Eretz Chemda mean? Eretz Chemda is the description that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Eretz Yisrael before he even stepped into Eretz Yisrael, and he davened that he should be able to go there because he wanted so badly to be in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because he knew? No. Because he felt. This is my land. It's inexplicable. Chemda means, my father Zol HaZayin Gezunt would say over from his Rebbe Reb Soloveitchik, Eretz Chemda means an inexplicable yearning and desire for something you can't explain. That's Eretz Yisrael. Someone that loves Eretz Yisrael can't explain why he loves Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't have to do with, you know, the fancy hotels. Doesn't have to do with the fact that we have big arenas or nice trees. It has to do with the fact that there's something that is a part of me. Eretz Yisrael is a part of who I am. I feel connected when I'm here. That is what Eretz Yisrael is. And when the Klal Yisrael heard Zois Chukas HaTorah, the burning of the Torah happened Parshas Chukas. Chukas is a choik, makes no sense. Because if everything is all because I understand it, because I get it, because I enjoy it, because I could grasp it, you're lacking a basic fundamental relationship with the Torah. And even when the sugya is not easy and not enjoyable, I still love it. Because this is me. It's a part of me. That's Eretz Yisrael, that's the Torah. They go together. Avir Eretz Yisrael machkim, because if a person is here, is connected, then the Torah is not just something out there that we study. It's something that's a part of us. We'll just read a little bit more of the Kina. The Kina says, Holchem chasheichem ve'ein noiga. They're going in darkness. There's no light. There's no illumination. They're anxiously waiting and hoping for the light of day. That should shine upon them and on you. V'shalom enosh ne'enach boiche b'leiv mishbar. And the shalom to a person that's groaning, who's crying with a broken heart. Tamid mekoinein alay tzirech avalayich. And he's always bemoaning, crying bitterly. Tzirech avalayich on the pains. The excruciating pain of your suffering. V'yus'aynin kesanin. And he is crying out bitterly, like a serpent, and like a bird, an ostrich. And he calls out a bitter eulogy for you. How you have been given over to be consumed by a fire, to uchal be'esh basar, that humans have lit the fire, v'loy nichvu zorim begachalayich, and these foreigners have not been burnt in your coals of the Torah. Ad on, how long, adina tihi shoichna beroiv hashket, can these pampered, these Gentiles, that they sit comfortably in the land, ufnei proche, and the faces of my proche kohuna, of my young kohanim, halukisu charulayech, they're covered, and they're being masked. So the Kina continues, and speaks about the burning of the Sifrei Torah that happened there in Paris in the year 1242. Shalis Rufa.